The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the social studio.
Welcome to the weekly podcast from Radio Today. I'm Trevor Dan, and I don't know about you, but my Twitter timeline has been full this week with chat about cars, connected cars, the dashboards of the future that are going to wipe out radio listening in the one place we thought we had it all our own way. Now, I'm a sucker for a nicely turned Shakespearean reference, so I particularly enjoyed the latest blog by that doyen of radio consultants in the USA, Fred Jacobs. It's called "The Fault is Not in Our Cars, but in Ourselves." Fred's on the line now from the Shakespearean capital of Michigan. That's Detroit, by the way. Fred, how are you doing?
Trevor, it's always great to talk with you. I'm great.
Okay, so we've got Mark Ramsey telling us that the end of the world is nigh. What's your view on where we've got to with the whole state of radio in cars?
Well, the end of the world is not upon us at this point, but I think we do have to recognize the fact that our simple little world of dominating the dashboard is over, and that the two-knob, 12-preset model that we've come to know and love and make a lot of money on over the years and win over a lot of listeners. I mean, after all, I mean, the moment that people get their learner's permit and snap on that seatbelt, the first thing they do is turn on the radio. And so the dashboard has become a lot more crowded. But radio still has a significant place in the dash. Perhaps it needs to rethink some of the givens in terms of why would people choose radio given all these other options. But the car makers clearly are committed to broadcast radio. But there is a hole in the fence, and they are allowing a lot of other content creators to come in. So it is a more complicated environment.
So one of the things you're saying in your blog, I think, is that we still, as an industry, as a radio communication business, are still not really treating this as seriously as we should. Is that right?
That is correct. And certainly here in the States, it is concerning that so many broadcasters have never driven a true connected vehicle and are still thinking that broadcast radio is entitled to the dashboard. And one of the things that we encourage broadcasters to do is buy or lease a connected car. And if that's not possible, rent one or even take a nice leisurely test drive. But it is essential to understand what the audience is now beginning to experience as connected cars are rolling off the assembly line at a very, very rapid pace.
So, Fred, is this a technical issue? Is it a fight that we've got to have with the car makers to say, look, we want you to make sure that when people get in the car, sit behind the wheel, it's very easy to find the radio? Or is it a content issue? Is it about making better programs, more interesting content that's going to drive people to really want to stay with radio rather than be distracted by the other options that they've got?
So let me add a third layer to your question, which is a really good one. It is technical, it is content, but it's also training, because what we've learned over the past couple of years of putting together our Dash conference here in Detroit is that the real inflection point is when the consumer picks up his or her brand new vehicle and goes through the process of learning where the windshield wipers are and where the trunk release is and, most importantly, how to operate the center stack and all of its many options. So that moment in time is critically important to radio being well represented. And one of the things that we have talked about at both Dash conferences is the role of the local car dealership, because people don't go back to Ford or Toyota when there's a problem trying to figure out where's the radio or how do I pair up my phone. They go back to their car dealership. And so it really boils down to their training, their orientation, and frankly, how they view broadcast radio. So that's one of the things that we are really beginning to think about here in the States, is how can local broadcasters partner with local car dealerships? They do have a lot in common to really further each other's needs, because radio knows how to sell cars. What we really need is for car dealerships to sell radio.
Let me ask you about content then. If you were advising a radio station now in a local market, would you advise them to play records or to talk or to do both? Or, you know, what are the winning formats going to be in this new competitive world?
Well, you know, I don't think it's a format thing. I really think it is an execution thing. But I think it begins with expanding the competitive landscape when you get together with your core team to understand that the competition is just not other radio stations down the dial, but you are competing with people's music collections, you are competing with apps, you are competing with pure play services. You're really competing against a myriad of different options. And so the question is, what job is the audience hiring you to do? I just sort of lifted the philosophy of Clayton Christensen there, but really I think that is the central question. What is it that your radio station can do that none of these other sources can accomplish? And I think to a great degree it does come down to that local feel, local personalities and presenters who really live in the market along with you and understand the ethos of what it's like to be in Manchester or in Michigan. And I think that really kind of is a different way of thinking about the competitive ecosphere that most radio stations really aren't doing.
I guess the interesting thing, certainly from a UK perspective, is that all those things that you just talked about are the things that have gradually been taken away from a lot of music radio stations. You know, we've gone away from local, we've gone towards networking, we've gone towards pre-recorded, we've gone towards taking out personalities and playing 10 in a row and all the rest of it. Are you suggesting that actually that's probably not the direction of travel we should be going in?
Absolutely. And in that regard, Trevor, we are no different in the States. I might even make the case that when it comes to austerity, we do it better than anybody else. So when it has come to downsizing, consolidating, all those things, we have done it masterfully to a fault. And that really is the problem, because while that might have been a good short-term solution to help us make our quarterly numbers and our EBITDA, I love that expression. It really, I think, is damaging if you're playing the long game. And when you think about so many players now in the tech space, from Amazon to Pandora, which certainly has had a huge impact here in the States, to satellite radio, they really are playing a long game. So, yes, I think many of the cost-saving moves that broadcasters have made over the years really are counterproductive to the new competitive environment that they're facing.
In your latest blog, you quote Pandora saying, "We're very ambitious about what we want to achieve. We're setting our sights on changing this thing called radio completely. Our goal is to replace broadcast music radio." Well, are they going to achieve that goal?
Well, I think that's a good question. I think broadcast radio is always going to be there, perhaps not with the super dominant audience that it has enjoyed over the years. But I would say that's a pretty heavy shot across the bow, wouldn't you? I mean, they're very transparent in their goals. And so, again, it comes down to what is it that broadcast radio can do that Pandora cannot? And it really starts with incorporating Pandora into that strategic thinking. And certainly here in the States, I think a lot of broadcasters have Pandora denial. It's not radio. It's just a collection of music. It doesn't have presenters. And I think that's the wrong way of thinking about it. I mean, there really, it is a zero-sum game. We only have so many hours in the day that we can consume audio, and Pandora is going to get its slice. So how is broadcast radio going to prove its mettle and stand apart from all the different competitors for people's minds? I think it's very interesting that the Pandoras and so many of the other brands use the R word, radio, in order to describe and position their product. That tells you something about what valuable real estate that we have and why it's so important to protect it and build on it.
I had a long journey the other day and I needed to consult the sat nav, and I wasn't driving my own car. And so I was holding my phone so that I could read the sat nav, and up were coming on the phone some traffic in some traffic information, you know, stuff about roadworks and holdups on the motorway that I was going to hit. And while I was doing this, I was thinking, you know what? Radio traffic information is never very good, is it? And yet we all do it. We all rely on it as part of our schedule. We say it's important. I wonder, what's the trend in the States, Fred? Are people not bothering so much with traffic news?
Well, it's fascinating that you ask about this, because one of the presentations at DASH last week was from Larry Rosen from Edison Research. And it was called The Future of Traffic Reporting. And Larry really made the claim that traffic reporting on the radio is going to go by the wayside in much the same way that school closing reports have. I'm not sure how it's done in the UK, but when we have a big snowfall in the past, you would have to listen to 4 or 5 minutes of different schools and school districts, of course, in alphabetical order. God forbid if you lived in a district that started with W. So you would have to sit through all these reports, and hopefully you were focused enough to actually be paying attention to when they finally mentioned yours. And Larry's claim was that traffic reporting is very much the same way. It's terribly inefficient. It is often inaccurate. It is not especially real time. And so often, unless you are on a major artery or thoroughfare, there's a fairly good chance that radio traffic reporting is not going to be relevant to your particular dilemma or traffic jam. And so apps like Waze, W-A-Y-Z, which really is crowdsourced traffic reports that provide you with real-time traffic information wherever you may be, those kinds of things are tools that radio should be incorporating or even partnering with in order to upgrade its traffic reporting, because the days of just endlessly reading different road reports and that sort of thing, I think is very much going to be going by the wayside, not to mention it's not great radio. So that's another one of those areas that I think is being very much disrupted by technology. And for stations that have depended on traffic reporting economically or programmatically, clearly the internet is disrupting that space.
Fred, it's always a great pleasure to talk to you. Your blog is at jacobsmediablog.com, and I recommend it. Will we see you at Radio Days Europe next year?
I'm hoping so. I had such a wonderful time in Dublin earlier this year, presenting with Michael Hill, meeting you, Trevor, hanging out with James Cridland, and just so many other wonderful broadcasters from all over the world. It was just very inspirational to me, and I'm going to make every effort to come back to Europe next spring and hopefully be able to hang out with everybody and compare notes.
Great. Well, we'll look forward to that. Thank you very much indeed, Fred Jacobs. This is the Radio Today programme. Let's have some news now with Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Paul Gambaccini will return to the radio next month, returning to BBC Radio 2 to host his show America's Greatest Hits after a year-long break following his arrest. His first new show will be on November the 15th. Fran Unsworth has been appointed as director of the BBC World Service Group, replacing Peter Horrocks. Fran becomes the first female director in the entire 82-year history of the World Service and will start her new job on the 8th of December. And big news in Scotland as Robin Galloway is heading back to 100 to 101 FM, leaving his four-year relationship with Bauer to head back to the breakfast show on Heart. And it's Radar once again this week. See all the news and graphs on radiotoday.co.uk. That's the very latest. I'm Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
Thank you, Roy Martin. As always, some radio moments now with David Lloyd.
Radio moments. Radio moments.
We start this week in 1922. The British Broadcasting Company was formed from six telecoms companies.
The London station of the British Broadcasting Broadcasting Company calling.
And then, this week in 2008, Wreath's Baby broadcast this.
Andrew, this is Russell Brand. I'm so sorry about the last message. It was part of the radio show. It was a mistake.
Just a joke. If there is any truth in that, I don't know. It was just a joke.
Russell
asked me to say it as a joke.
It was just a joke that we done, basically. I didn't ask him to say it, though. But, you know, aside from that bit, this one's true and the last one's not true. And
Might be true, but...
Really 6 years ago? The so-called Saxgate affair, thanks to Jonathan Ross and Russell Brand on Radio 2. Across on commercial radio, the 40th anniversary celebrations continue, and so to Merseyside.
It's 6:02 on Monday, October the 21st, 1974. For the very first time, this is 194 Radio City, broadcasting to Merseyside.
It's new on Merseyside, Radio City sound. Stay tuned to 194 for the sound that's getting around.
There was this huge camaraderie of people who worked in the first great wave of commercial radio, mostly because most of us were making it up as we went along. I thought always that there was another way of doing music. I know there is another way of doing news.
Gillian Reynolds assembled a skilled and varied gang of presenters. I was extremely pleased she asked me to join. I remember we worked our socks off getting ready for day one. No one complained, though. I have a vivid memory of snatching 10 minutes sleep propped up in the corner of Studio One during a Trails recording session. I voiced quite a lot of them. I did the 10 p.m., 2 a.m. slot. I have to say, first night nerves meant there were a lot of segues. Such an exciting time. For me, the best working time I've ever had.
It's a special city day, you know. 194 Radio.
The launch of Radio City this week in 74. We heard there from Bill Bingham, who was on air on day one, alongside Dave Lincoln and Graham Dean and Rob Jones as well. Before that, we heard from Gillian Reynolds, the very first Radio City PD. The jingle was from Linda Lewis, commended by no less than Elton John, who said it was the best jingle package he'd ever heard. Happy 40th, Radio City. Farewell this week, 13 years ago, to the chap who made Sunday nights for 42 years. Cliff Adams, Sing Something Simple Singers. Cliff died this week in 2001, and that programme became the longest-running continuous music programme in the world. 1993 now, and the last Radio 1 morning show from Simon Bates.
I had a fax from someone said, what are we going to do without the gold now? The gold now will be here. What are we going to do without our tune? Well, there's the replacement for our tune, which is True Confessions. What are we going to do without the video reviews? The video reviews will be there. Nothing much changes, as I said yesterday, except for the broadcaster, who perhaps will be an improvement on Monday. Thanks for the last 16 years. We'll go out to New York with this.
Farewell to Simon Bates' Radio 1 career after so many golden hours. It's exactly 90 years this week since the very first radio station came to Stoke.
The studio control room and offices are at Majestic Buildings, South Wolf Street, Stoke, and the transmitting station in Messrs. Minton's Yard, a short distance away. The aerial, suspended between two tall chimneys, is 120 feet high and 160 feet in length. The studio is beautifully appointed. In addition to a microphone of the latest type, an upright grand piano forte, and a beautiful cabinet gramophone.
Memories of 1924 and 6ST in Stoke. And thank goodness for good old Mrs. Minton. This week in 1980, commercial radio arrived in Gloucestershire as Seven Sound launched.
Mike Oldfield and Arrival. Seven Sound on its first day. News on the hour at 6 o'clock. 6 minutes past, it's Up and About with myself, Alan Roberts, until 9:30. Then it's the turn of Christopher Musk with the mid-morning show. Gloucestershire this lunchtime, our daily news roundup is at 1, followed by Topic. Laura Devere with the afternoon affair from 2 o'clock until 4:30. Home to 7 with Steve Ellis until 8. And finally today, George Sigsworth with the Farming Magazine at 8 o'clock. Next, it's news at 6.
Seven Sound. You've got a friend on Seven Sound Radio.
Now, have we remembered all those programmes? I think not. Seven Sound on the air this week for the first time 34 years ago, now Heart. At Radio 1 this week, 21 years ago, the final Saturday rock show from Fluff.
Joe Satriano, Dio, Neil Young, Sepultura and AC/DC. And in 1989, this was voted Album of the Year. Absolutely. For those about to rock, we salute you, AC/DC. Our open request to all of you. And don't forget, I love you.
So with regular stereo transmissions beginning in London 57 years ago, Radio Mercury launching 30 years ago...
We will stick very closely to our original financial projections and the company will be a rip-roaring success.
Radio Brighton turning into Radio Sussex 31 years ago...
This is BBC Radio Brighton.
The death of BBC local pioneer and war correspondent Frank Gillard 16 years ago...
The shells are whistling overhead now, just listen to them.
And of Tony Capstick 11 years ago...
This is Radio Sheffield. You've just been told that, so shut up, I'm not going to tell you for another 5 minutes.
Those are this week's... Radio
Moments! Thank you, David. Thanks to Fred Jacobs as well for talking to us from Detroit, Michigan. This has been the Radio Today programme, a TDC production. I've been Trevor Dan. Join us next week if you can, when we'll be finding out about Share Radio, a new DAB station all about stocks and shares and business. Join us for that if you can. Thanks for listening. Ta-da.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.